The following is a review of the corporate finance principles designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by CFA Institute. This topic is also covered in Measures of Leverage. Our first LOS for this topic review is to define and explain leverage, business risk, sales risk, operating risk, and financial risk, and classify a risk. Leverage, in the sense we use it here, refers to the amount of fixed costs a firm has. These fixed costs may be fixed operating expenses, such as building or equipment leases, or fixed financing costs, such as interest payments on debt. Greater leverage leads to greater variability of the firm's after-tax operating earnings and net income. A given change in sales will lead to a greater change in operating earnings when the firm employs operating leverage. A given change in operating earnings will lead to a greater change in net income when the firm employs financial leverage. Business risk refers to the risk associated with a firm's operating income and is the result of uncertainty about a firm's revenues and the expenditures necessary to produce those revenues. Business risk is the combination of sales risk and operating risk. Sales risk is the uncertainty about the firm's sales. Operating risk refers to the additional uncertainty about operating earnings caused by fixed operating costs. The greater the proportion of fixed costs to variable costs, the greater a firm's operating risk. Financial risk refers to the additional risk that the firm's common stockholders must bear when a firm uses fixed cost or debt financing. When a company finances its operations with debt, it takes on fixed expenses in the forms of interest payments. The greater the proportion of debt in a firm's capital structure, the greater the firm's financial risk. The next LOS requires us to calculate and interpret the degree of operating leverage, the degree of financial leverage, and the degree of total leverage. The degree of operating leverage is defined as the percentage change in operating income, or earnings before interest and taxes, that results from a given percentage change in sales. The degree of operating leverage can also be calculated as sales minus total variable costs divided by sales minus total variable costs minus fixed costs. Note that in this form, the denominator is operating earnings, or EBIT. Let's consider an example. Atom Company and Beta Company each produce 100,000 units of a product that they can sell for $4 per unit. Atom Company has variable costs of $3 per unit and fixed costs of $40,000. Beta Company has variable costs of $2 per unit and fixed costs of $120,000. For Atom Company, sales minus variable costs equals $400,000 minus $300,000, or $100,000. Sales minus variable costs minus fixed costs equals $400,000 minus $300,000 minus $40,000, or $60,000. Adam's degree of operating leverage equals $100,000 divided by $60,000, or approximately 1.67. For Beta Company, sales minus variable costs equals $400,000 minus $200,000, or $200,000. Sales minus variable costs minus fixed costs equals $400,000 minus $200,000 minus $120,000, or $80,000. Beta's degree of operating leverage equals $200,000 divided by $80,000, or 2.5. These results indicate that if both companies' sales increase by 10%, Atom Company's EBIT will increase by 16.7%, while Beta Company's EBIT will increase by 25%. It is important to note that the degree of operating leverage for a company depends on the level of sales. For example, if Atom Company sells 300,000 units, the degree of operating leverage is decreased to 1.15. The degree of operating leverage is highest at low levels of sales and declines at higher levels of sales. The degree of financial leverage is interpreted as the ratio of the percentage change in net income or earnings per share to the percentage change in EBIT. For a particular level of operating earnings, the degree of financial leverage is calculated as EBIT divided by EBIT minus interest. For the previous example, Adam Company's operating income for selling 100,000 units was $60,000. Assume that Adam has annual interest expense of $18,000. If Adam's EBIT increases by 10%, by how much will its earnings per share increase? To determine the answer, calculate Adam's degree of financial leverage. EBIT divided by EBIT minus interest equals 60,000 divided by 60,000 minus 18,000, or 1.43. Hence, if EBIT increases by 10%, earnings per share will increase by 14.3%. The degree of total leverage combines the degree of operating leverage and the degree of financial leverage. Degree of total leverage measures the sensitivity of earnings per share to change in sales and is computed by multiplying the degree of operating leverage by the degree of financial leverage. Continuing our previous example, how much will Adam's earnings per share increase if Adam increases its sales by 10%? Recall that Adam's degree of operating leverage was 1.67 and its degree of financial leverage was 1.43. Adam's degree of total leverage is 1.67 times 1.43, which equals 2.39. So a 10% increase in sales will increase Adam's earnings per share by 23.9%. The next LOS is to analyze the effect of financial leverage on a company's net income and return on equity. The use of financial leverage significantly increases the risk and potential reward to common stockholders. The following examples involving Beta Company illustrate how financial leverage affects net income and the shareholders' return on equity. First, we will assume that the Beta Company has $500,000 in assets that are financed with 100% equity. Fixed costs are $120,000. Beta is expected to sell 100,000 units, resulting in EBIT of $80,000. Beta's tax rate is 40%. Calculate Beta's net income and return on equity if its EBIT increases by 10% to $88,000 or decreases by 10% to $72,000. With no interest expense, Beta's earnings before taxes is the same as its EBIT. With taxes at 40%, Beta's net income is $52,800 if EBIT increased by 10%, and $43,200 if EBIT decreased by 10%. If EBIT did not change, net income would be $48,000. With no debt, shareholders' equity is equal to total assets, or $500,000. Return on equity is 9.6% with no change in EBIT, 10.56% for a 10% increase in EBIT, and 8.64% for a 10% decrease in EBIT. Now let's assume Beta Company is financed with 50% equity and 50% debt, and the interest rate on its debt is 6%. Interest expense equals 6% of $250,000 or $15,000. Income before taxes is now $65,000 for no change in EBIT, $73,000 for a 10% increase in EBIT, and $57,000 for a 10% decrease in EBIT. With taxes at 40%, net income is $39,000 for no change, $43,800 for a 10% increase, and $34,200 for a 10% decrease. Shareholders' equity is now $250,000. Return on equity is 15.6% with no change in EBIT, 17.52% for a 10% increase in EBIT, and 13.68% for a 10% decrease in EBIT. The interest expense associated with using debt represents a fixed cost that reduces net income. However, the lower net income value is spread over a smaller base of shareholders' equity, serving to magnify the return on equity. In all three of the scenarios, in these two examples, return on equity is higher using leverage than it is without leverage. Further analyzing the differences between the examples, we can see that the use of financial leverage not only increases the level of return on equity, it also increases the rate of change for return on equity. In the unleveraged scenario, return on equity varies directly with the change in EBIT. For an increase in EBIT of 10%, the return on equity increases from 9.6% to 10.56% for a rate of change of 10%. In the leveraged scenario, return on equity is more volatile. For an increase in EBIT of 10%, the return on equity increases from 15.6% to 17.52% for a rate of change of 12.3%. The use of financial leverage increases the risk of default, but also increases the potential return for equity holders.